We read the Holy Scripture this morning in the Gospel according to John, chapter 14. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto my the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. There ends our reading of God's word this morning. May he bless the scripture unto our hearts. On the basis of the passage that we've read, can be found the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 18. Lord's Day 18. This morning we'll consider the first three questions and answers of the Lord's Day, coming back next week to question and answer 49, which concern the advantage of the ascension. Question and answer 46. How dost thou understand these words, he ascended into heaven? That Christ, in sight of his disciples, was taken up from earth into heaven, and that he continues there for our interest until he comes again to judge the quick and the dead. Is not Christ then with us even to the end of the world, as he hath promised? Christ is very man and very God. With respect to his human nature, he is no more on earth. But with respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is at no time absent from us. But if his human nature is not present wherever his Godhead is, are not then these two natures in Christ separated from one another? Not at all. For since the Godhead is illimitable and omnipresent, it must necessarily follow that the same is beyond the limits of the human nature he assumed, and yet is nevertheless in this human nature and remains personally united to it. So far our reading of the Catechism this morning. Now let's pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word unto our hearts as it will be proclaimed this morning. Strengthen thy servant to carry out faithfully the calling which thou hast given to him. And grant that we together may be led into the green pastures of thy truth and word. Pardon graciously our sins, for Christ's sake. Amen. The ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ marks an important step in his exaltation. In the ascension, the Lord Jesus Christ was taken up from this earth, and he was taken by God into heaven itself. In the ascension, because of the ascension, Christ is no longer present on this earth. The same Jesus Christ who was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem stable, the same Jesus Christ who lived and grew up in Nazareth of Galilee, the same Lord Jesus Christ who for 3.5 years went up and down the land of Palestine preaching and performing miracles, the same Lord Jesus Christ, who was apprehended by his enemies, condemned to death, and crucified at the direction of Pontius Pilate on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was dead and buried and rose again on the third day, that Lord Jesus Christ is ascended into heaven. That Lord Jesus Christ is no longer present on this earth. That Lord Jesus Christ is far removed from us, exalted into heaven. That's the fruit of the ascension. Because of the ascension, what the ascension was, Jesus is no longer present on this earth. As far as the nature, the attributes, and the limits of his humanity are concerned, he is not any longer with us. He is in heaven. We do not see him. We cannot see him any longer in the flesh as his disciples did. Neither is it the case that he is bodily present in the signs and seals of the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. That is precisely the contention of the Lutherans and of the Roman Catholic Church. That view is expressly repudiated in Lord's Day 18. That contention is demonstrated to be a false contention. The Reformed have always argued the truth of Christ's ascension against the Lutheran and Roman Catholic perversion of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The truth of the ascension rules out any physical presence of Jesus in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. He cannot be bodily present, either on the communion table or, as the Lutherans and Roman Catholics refer to it, on the altar. And he cannot be because he is in heaven at the right hand of his Father. But that does not mean that Christ is altogether absent from us. That does not mean that there is no sense in which the Lord Jesus is present with us after the ascension. That was his promise to his disciples in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. With you, even to the end of the world. Although physically Jesus is absent from us, there are important senses in which Jesus is present with us. In fact, the teaching of the Catechism and Scripture is that he is present with us now in a far richer way than his physical presence with his disciples during his earthly life and ministry. And it is that new presence of Jesus Christ with us as a result of his ascension that is described in Lord's Day 18, especially the 47th answer. In the 47th answer, we are taught that the ascended Christ is present with us and never leaves us or forsakes us. He is present with us according to his Godhead and majesty. He is present with us by his grace, and he is present with us in and through his Holy Spirit. I call your attention this morning to the ascended Christ with us to the end of the world. Let's notice three things then. First of all, that he is with us according to his Godhead and majesty. Secondly, that he is with us by his grace. And thirdly, that he is present with us in the Holy Spirit. In simplest terms, the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 18 describes the fact of Christ's ascension. It does so in question and answer 46. What dost thou understand by these words, he ascended into heaven? That Christ, in sight of his disciples, was taken up from earth into heaven, and that he continues there, that is in heaven, for our interest until he comes again to judge the quick and the dead. On the 40th day after his resurrection, as the first chapter of the book of Acts relates, the man Jesus, in sight of his disciples, while they beheld, was taken up from them into heaven. There was something different in this. For the 40 days prior to this, Jesus had suddenly appeared, and then just as suddenly was gone again. Not so in this instance. Now, in their very eyesight, they saw Jesus Christ lifted up off the earth until a cloud covered him from their sight. Jesus ascended into heaven. That's the teaching of John 14. Prophetically, Jesus is not crucified, nor risen, nor ascended in John 14. But prophetically, he speaks of all these events, including his ascension. The opening verses of the chapter, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to Father's house. I go to the place of many mansions in order to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Verse 12, the last part. "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless." I will leave you, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 25, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you." Because there comes a time when I am not any longer going to be present with you, but gone from you. And then verses 28 and 29, "Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. From the very moment of Jesus' ascension, at that moment, he was no longer present with his disciples. From that moment, he was absent from them. According to his human nature, he was parted from them, not any longer in the world, but in heaven. The ascension was Jesus' departure from the earth and his entering into heaven itself, into the very presence of God. We cannot now go into that, but the glorious truth that stands behind Lord's Day 18 is the blessed reality of heaven. Death is not the end. There is an eternal life after death. Heaven for the elect believers. Damnation and hell for the unbelieving and reprobate wicked. Because Christ's ascension was his departure from the earth, we believers are left in this world absent from Christ. And we experience, too, the pain of that separation. An example might help. Some of our Dutch forefathers came to this country, husbands and fathers ahead of their wives and children, in order to discover if this was a place to which they should move, a place where there was farmland, where they could raise crops and support a family, a place where they could worship God according to the dictates of their consciences and establish good Christian schools for their children. While they were here, not in the Netherlands, they were separated from their loved ones. And that separation was a painful separation for the husband and father, but especially for his wife and his children, from whom he was temporarily separated. But sustaining them in the sorrow of their separation was the hope that soon enough they would be reunited, would enjoy one another's company again, fellowship, face to face. Similarly, the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the apostle says in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8. The chapter begins with the familiar words, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." But 6 through 8, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." That's the hope of the child of God, being with Christ and his heavenly Father, being with them for eternity. there is that eagerness that pervades the life of the Christian, and that is only quickened by the pain of our separation. The longer that separation is, and the more we are weary by the sufferings and sorrows of earthly life, the sin and the consequences of sin, we do not desire heaven merely because all the sufferings and sorrows will be eliminated. We do not desire heaven, first of all, because there we will be made perfect and enter into the perfection of everlasting life. Why do we desire heaven? And I am always struck by that when I minister to the aged saints who have been through it all, experienced untold sufferings and sorrow. Why do they want to go to heaven? Unanimously, the response is to be with Christ, which is far, far better. That too is what the apostle teaches in Philippians 1, 21 through 23. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, I know not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Far better. Nevertheless, the ascension of Jesus Christ does not mean that he is absent from us altogether in every sense of the word. The Lord Jesus Christ himself promised otherwise. That was his promise, as we've already noted, at the time immediately prior to his ascension, when he told his disciples, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." That's his promise in John 14, verse 18. A very striking promise. Our King James reads, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." But the Greek says, "I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you orphans, left alone, unloved and cared for by anyone. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." That's his promise, and he makes good that promise. That's our experience. Everyone here this morning can testify to the truth of Jesus' promise, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come unto you." How could we be here this morning? How could there be a church in the midst of the world if Christ were not with us and with his church, even to the end of the world? How could the members of the church bear up under the attacks of Satan, the persecution of the wicked world, the onslaughts of ungodly men without and within the church, apart from his being with us? How could you or I personally endure the sufferings of the faith, the attacks against us of the evil one daily, if Christ were not true to his word, "I will not leave you orphans, I will come unto you"? How could we ever bear our burdens? How could we ever endure the suffering, the reproach. How could we ever carry out the duties and demands of our earthly callings if it were not true? I am with you always. The important question is how? How is the ascended Christ present with us always if the reality of the ascension is that he is not any longer, according to his human nature, in this world? How? The Heidelberg Catechism answers that all-important question. And it answers that question, first of all, by pointing out to us that Christ is with us according to his Godhead and majesty. With us according to his Godhead and majesty. You mustn't think here of the Godhead and majesty of the triune God. It is true, of course, that the triune God is ever present in his creation. It is true that the triune God is present in his creation according to his majesty and his glory. But we're talking here about Jesus, the man Jesus, the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. The Heidelberg Catechism asserts that that ascended Christ is present, is with us, according to his Godhead and his majesty. That's the one who ascended into heaven. That's the one who, by the ascension, has been clothed with all power in heaven and on earth, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who rules over all. He is the one who judges all. He is the one who executes the sovereign will of God. He is the one who makes all things serve God's glory and the welfare of his church. He is the one who causes everything that befalls you and befalls me to work together for our good. He is the one, according to the very first question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism, who preserves us. It's talking there about the Lord of glory, the ascended Lord Jesus Christ, who so preserves us that without the will of our Heavenly Father, not a hair, a single hair, can fall from our heads. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That's the assurance that we have for ourselves and for the whole church of Jesus Christ. This is the confidence that we have. He will never leave us. With us always, according to his Godhead and majesty. We may not always be conscious of that as we ought to be. We often take that for granted. But when we wander, as often we do, when at those times when we wander far away from him, quite oblivious to his presence with us, not conscious at all that he has not left us, but he never forsakes us. He never leaves us. And even then, stretches forth his hand, and according to his Godhead and majesty, delivers us from the snare and power of Satan and brings us back again, setting our feet upon the straight and narrow way. He turns us from our backslidings, from the guilt and power of our sins. He restores us to His blessed fellowship, to the enjoyment consciously of His presence with us. And that's so because of His Godhead and majesty, according to which He does not leave us orphans, but remains with us. His Godhead and His majesty. But besides His grace. His grace. That's the 47th answer as well. Grace is simply the power of God according to which He saves guilty sinners. That the ascended Christ is with us by His grace simply means that He works our salvation and He preserves us in our salvation with us by His grace. This is the great work of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. This is the work of the ascended Jesus Christ with all of His blood-bought children. His grace and the work of His grace to save them to the uttermost, to bring them one day to Himself, to everlasting life and glory, when we who are orphans will be brought into the perfection of the fellowship of the family of God. That's our hope. That's the comfort and the promise of God in the ascension of Jesus Christ. This is the grace of the ascended Jesus Christ, which brings us sinners to repentance and works faith in us. That's all and only due to the ascended Jesus Christ. This is why His grace is a sovereign grace. This is why His grace is an irresistible grace. This is why His grace is not conditioned on you or on me, our fulfilling any conditions, our accepting His offer to be gracious to us. No, 1,000 times no. This is the grace of the one seated at the right hand of God, the grace of the one who has been clothed with all power in heaven and on earth. He's able then, as the ascended Christ, to break your hard heart and my hard heart. He's able then to bend our stiff necks. He is able to work in stubborn, rebellious children. Obedience, the bending of the stiff neck and the bowing of the stubborn knee. Why? Because His grace is the grace of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. But not only does that grace bring us to salvation, that same grace preserves us in salvation. And that belongs to the promise of God in the ascension of Christ and to our comfort in Christ's ascension. This is the assurance that we will be preserved, come what may, that we will be kept in our salvation individually, and that the whole church of Jesus Christ, the elect body for whom Christ has died, will be preserved in the salvation ordained by God that is guaranteed by the ascension of Jesus Christ. This is our comfort in the battle against sin. Our own personal battle against sin. That particular sin in your life or in mine. This is our assurance that we will not be overcome, but that we will triumph in the battle. We will never suffer defeat, but we will be victorious. It's all because of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the basis for all our confidence that one day this ascended Christ is going to bring us to heaven. Because He, the ascended Christ, is in heaven now already. Our head is in heaven. I can't say much about that this morning, but next week, that comes up especially in question and answer 49. But it stands behind already what the catechism says in 46 through 48. You read it expressly in question and answer 49. The secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that He, as the head, will also take us up to Himself. Our head is in heaven. The one who stood as our representative before the wrath and the judgment of God, that's the one who's in heaven. The one who rose again from the dead for our justification, that's the one who is in heaven. That our head is in heaven guarantees that one day we're going to be there too. We're going to be with our head and share in His glory. A head can't be parted from its body. Your head can't be in the back of the auditorium and in the front of the auditorium, your body. They're inseparable. Where your head is, there also is your body. Your head may come into the room ahead of your body, but your body is sure to follow. That's the comfort of the ascension of Jesus Christ. That's why we can never lose our salvation. Never. Our head is in heaven. And that delivers us from every fear. That delivers us from the greatest fear of all. Christ is in heaven. What have we to fear? We will one day, we must one day be with Him where He is now. With His Godhead and majesty, by His grace, and finally in His Holy Spirit. The ascended Lord Jesus Christ is also with us in and by His Holy Spirit. And that really was the purpose of His ascension. It was the purpose of His departure from us, that He might send us from heaven the Holy Spirit. That's how we must understand the ascension. We mustn't understand these as two separate realities. Christ is in heaven, and yes, He's also present with us. How we can put those two together is a conundrum, no possibility of solving that paradox. That's not true. He is present with us in the Spirit exactly because He went into heaven. And there, from the throne of God's power, He sent forth His Holy Spirit to do His saving work in you and in me. That's the comfort. That's the glorious truth of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the promise. John 14, verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will send the Holy Spirit, true as that is, but in the Holy Spirit, I will come unto you. And also, verse 28, the first part. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. And the idea is, I go away in order that I may come unto you in the Spirit. The important thing to note in this connection is that through the Spirit, Christ Himself is present with us. He doesn't just through the Spirit bestow gifts and blessings upon us, but the great work of the Holy Spirit is to bring Christ Himself to us. That's why He is the Spirit of Christ. It isn't only because He's sent out by Christ. That's true. But the truth is richer and greater. He is the Spirit of Christ because He brings Christ to us, the exalted, ascended Jesus Christ. In close connection with the ascended Jesus Christ as present with His church through the Spirit is His Word and the preaching and the teaching of His Word. Those two can never be separated. You may on your own read John 14 again, 15, 16, and 17. And note all the emphasis upon the Word and upon the truth and the Spirit of truth and teaching you all things. Christ is present with us through the Spirit by means of His Word and the preaching and teaching of His Word. Where is the Holy Spirit? Where is a Spirit-filled congregation? Not where they're speaking gibberish, supposedly tongue-speaking. Not where they can perform miracles. That's not the deciding factor. Where is the Holy Spirit? He is in that congregation where the truth of Jesus Christ is preached. Through the preaching of the truth of the gospel, Christ Himself is present to us. All this makes church attendance, faithful church attendance, of great importance. And this makes it a very, very serious matter to lead a true church of Jesus Christ. This is the personal dwelling of Jesus Christ with us. He dwells with us through the Word. That's why the presence of the ascended Christ with us is comforting. The comfort is simply this. We belong to Jesus Christ, a faithful Savior. Jesus Christ, as the first question and answer of the Catechism has pointed out, faithful because He never leaves us nor ever forsakes us. We're never abandoned by Him. We're never left orphans. He dwells with us. That's the comfort for the church and every church member. Oh, the presence of Christ does not mean ease for the church, does not mean for the individual child of God. There aren't going to be bumps in the road, troubles, disappointments, great sorrows, grievous burdens. Not that, as every one of us knows. But, we do not bear our burdens alone. We do not face the enemy alone. We do not endure the sufferings and the sorrows all on our own. We don't carry out the demands of our calling in our own strength. He's there. He's present to us to the end of the world. Because He is, you will bear that burden. You will face that enemy victoriously. You will not be overcome in your spiritual warfare. You will not be swallowed up. You will carry out your calling. And you will, and I will, because of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, a better day is coming. There is a day when He will not only be with us, but we will be with Him. What a day, glorious day, that will be. Amen. Father in heaven, apply Thy word unto our hearts as we've heard it this morning. The great comfort of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the promise of Thy word that we will not be left alone, orphans, but He will be with us to the